I'm honored to be with you. I'm so grateful for Pastor Jason affording me this opportunity. Several people have asked me recently, how's Frankie doing? Now, if you were here one of those Sundays I preached last year, I told the story how after church on Easter, our daughter and son-in-law, Brooke and Kyle, rescued this turtle from the middle of a busy street. And they brought it over, and so Easter lunch, we're all gathered, and we released this turtle into the pond that's in our backyard. And Frankie, short for Franklin, was flourishing, great. A few weeks later, John and I are driving down Grapevine Highway. Now, you've been there. You know it has 200 lanes of traffic. And I'll be doggone, there's a turtle trying to make its way from one side to the other. Now, I know this was wrong, but man, I slammed on my brakes, I put it in park, I jumped out of the car, I go out, I get that turtle, bring it over, open the door on Janice's side, put it at her feet. And we take off. She named him Benny before we ever got to the house. We take Benny to the backyard, we release him into the pond as well. Now this is gonna be great. Frankie and Benny are gonna be best buds forever. Or maybe more. Benny is in fact a boy. But we would have done better naming Frankie, Franklin, Francine, because he is a she. And all I could think of was, we're going to have 100 baby turtles in this backyard. But as this slide shows, they love each other. That's the fountain when the water's not going, and Benny climbed up there. But Frankie, she's smaller, she never could. Until Benny arrived and he helped her. They were precious. He would help her get on top of this and they would just kind of work on their tan, I guess. But it was great. Last summer, we were gone for a couple weeks on a trip, but Jenna made all the preparations necessary for their welfare in our absence. She made sure that the pond was being filled with fresh water periodically, and she had that automatic food dispenser and had it right next to the pond. And it was scheduled for 2 times every day. Gourmet turtle food was being dispensed to these two turtles. And everything was great. Until it wasn't. We get back 2 weeks later. Man, we immediately go to the backyard. We want to check on the turtles. And we can't find them. Anywhere. We scoured every inch of that backyard. Now, there was a low area. It had always been there. They'd been there for months. I didn't think that the turtles could get there or get through there. But while I'm literally searching the highways and byways of life, calling their name, Jenna goes next door and checks with Sean and Lisa. And all three of them go in their backyard. They look everywhere. And then all of a sudden it dawned on Lisa that almost two weeks prior, right after we left, they had friends over and they were in the front yard visiting. And the friend's little girl, they saw her petting and playing with a turtle. We don't know how they got out, but Benny and Frankie have flown the coop. The bigger question is, why? They had their very best life possible in the backyard in this pond. Were they looking for more? Aren't we all? I want to share with you this morning what I'm learning about the more life based upon Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. Not a God who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. This more life that we look at this morning, first of all, is beyond our imagination. That's exactly what it says. It says, He is able. God is able. The word literally means to be powerful or strong. But this particular Greek word means that this power is intrinsic within the individual. It is a part of their nature. God, by His very nature, is omnipotent. He is almighty, all-powerful God. There's nothing that our God cannot do. He is able to do, it says, that word means to perform or provide, Just as we provided everything that Frankie and Benny could possibly want, so God provides us with everything we need. To what degree? Immeasurably more. The same word, the root word, is used in John 10:10 when Jesus says, "I come that they might have life and might have it more abundantly." This is the life that He provides. More than what? More, it says, than we ask. Now, church, I hope that you and I, our prayers are not focused primarily upon ourselves. That instead we're praying about the will of God. We're praying that the work of the kingdom would be accomplished. We're praying for others. But this word ask in the Greek literally means to ask for oneself and to ask that something prominent be given. And yet God said He's able to do immeasurably more than that. More than we ask and more than we can imagine. The word literally, or the word means ponder. It's what Mary was doing in the Christmas story. You remember when the shepherds came and they related to her what the angels had told them about this Christ child? The Bible says that Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. She was imagining what it would be like. She was imagining what the future would hold. Now, as you ponder God's goodness to you that you've sung about, His faithfulness that you've sung about to you in the past, you then can look also to a future based upon His promise when it says in 1 Corinthians 2. You can treasure this truth in 1 Corinthians 2 that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God is preparing for those that love Him. And that's not just heaven. You see, this life that He promises here, it is beyond what anything we can imagine. Secondly, it is based upon His power. Now to Him, to God, who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. The word power here is the Greek term dunamis. We get our English word dynamite from it. And if you're a believer in, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a dynamic source of power within you. Because when you receive the Holy Spirit, when you trust Christ as Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit, and He will never leave you. So that you have His power mightily at work within you at all times in all circumstances is what Jesus told the first disciples. Before He ascended back to heaven and before the Holy Spirit was given to the church, Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And His power is mightily at work within us for multiple reasons. But one of those is that God might empower you through His Spirit and energize you to accomplish the purpose that He has given for you. Now, life, personal purpose, that's a sermon for another day. But just know that every person in this room, every person on this planet, God has a personal, particular purpose for you. Now, it can be rejected. We find that in Scripture. But God has a purpose for you. And I will tell you, outside of the salvation experience, to discover and to passionately pursue your purpose is the most fulfilling thing to your soul this side of heaven. And we are energized and enabled to experience this because of God and Him empowering us. This is what the Apostle Paul said in Colossians. Is it my purpose? Is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. Paul said, my purpose is that everyone might know Christ. But it's not easy. And your purpose in life will sometimes be, as Paul said, to this end or for this purpose, I labor, I struggle with all of His energy that so powerfully works in me. Just as Paul, your purpose living now is not always going to be easy. It's going to be a struggle. It's going to require labor, but it's His energy at work in you. And what Paul did, it could be in our experience as well. David, in one of his songs of thanks, said, look to the Lord and His strength. Why? Because His power is accompanied by this promise. It's in both the Old and the New Testaments. We begin in Isaiah when it says, this is my wife Jana's favorite verse. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you by my righteous right hand. That's Old Testament promises. It's echoed in the New. For the Apostle Paul likewise wrote to the church in Corinth and said, but he, Jesus, said to me, my grace. Okay, now this is when Paul was praying that whatever was ailing him, he would be healed of it. And for whatever reason that we don't know, God chose not to. But for this season of Paul's life, he said, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. And folks, beginning with the one that stands on this stage, this place is filled with weak people in need of the power of God. So much so that Paul said to the church at Ephesus, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. All right, we're going to come back to this power thing in just a minute. But up to this point, we find that this more living, it is beyond what we can imagine. It is based upon his power. And when we live like this, it bestows upon him glory. Now to God, who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us, to him be glory. I'll tell you, God provides this life for you and me so that he might display us as an evidence of his goodness, his grace, to bring him glory. We're told in Scripture, 1 Corinthians 10, this is a life mandate. It says, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. That's an overarching instruction, command. But let me give you four aspects of the more life that I believe brings God glory. First of all, it all begins in knowing Jesus Christ. And if you don't, I hope and pray you'll come and visit with one of our pastors at the conclusion of this service. But it begins with knowing Christ, because the Scripture says, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. He said there is nothing more important or valuable than that. In fact, speaking of value, the second thing we can give glory to God is when we value and center our lives around the Word of God. We find in the Psalms, the law of the Lord is perfect. The law, that's talking about God's Word. Reviving the soul, the statutes of the Lord, that's God's word. They're trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord, oh, they are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, and not just a little bit, but much more than much pure gold. Do you value the word of God? Is your life centered around its truth? Third way we can give glory to God through the more life. That is by demonstrating in what God's entrusted to us through faithful service. The story over Matthew 25, you're familiar. Jesus was the greatest storyteller that ever lived. And he tells this story, it's called a parable, about the master who gave three of his servants various amounts of talents. Now a talent, a single talent, was worth approximately 20 years of wages for a common laborer. He gives to one talent, one two, and one five. This is a fortune he is entrusted to their care. And the guy with one does nothing with it. The one with two and the one with five double the investment. They were faithful to utilize that which had been entrusted to them. And Scripture says, the master replied, because this is in the role of God, of what God will say to us, if that is true of us. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. So come and share your master's happiness, for everyone who has been given more, and he will have an abundance. You're faithfully investing that which God has entrusted to you, your time, your talent, your treasure. God says he was going to honor that, and you will one day hear the words we all long to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. It's one of the ways God is glorified. And also, as we find in Romans, the 8th chapter, it is through victorious living on a day-to-day basis. Romans 8:37, Jason took us through this entire chapter, great, rich series a couple of years ago. But in that it says, no, in all these things, well, what is preceding that are the things that can hamper us and harm us and that can overwhelm and serve as obstacles in our lives. But it says, no, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. The victory, as you sang earlier, is in Jesus. We are more than conquerors regardless. Church, I believe in a literal devil. And he is powerful and he is mean. But he ain't no match for our God. You need not fear him. But you do need to be aware that just as God has a purpose for your life, so too does the devil. He has one of two purposes for every person on this planet. Number one, he wants to damn them for eternity. If you trusted Christ as Savior, you are beyond his reach. He cannot touch you eternally. But even if you trusted Christ, his second, if he can't damn you for eternity, he will seek to defeat you on a daily basis. And primary reason is not just in your life, but the impact it has on the gospel. If you and I are living just defeated lives day after day after day, people look at us and go, and this is what being a Christian is? I want no part of it. But living victoriously, see, we can resist the devil and instead rely upon the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit to live victoriously in all circumstances, regardless of what we're facing. And this brings glory to God. It begins with knowing Christ. We see it when we value and center our lives around the Word of God, when we are faithful to invest that which God has entrusted to us, and then we live victoriously, God is glorified. Now, who's this for? The more life is beyond what we can imagine. It's based upon his power. It bestows upon him glory. And it belongs to all generations in the church through faith in Christ Jesus, both now and forevermore. When I read, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever, amen, I immediately thought of our church's mission statement that you spoke of, that you repeated earlier in this service. The Spirit of God led our pastors and staff a few years ago to adopt that. It guides everything that we do. And it almost parallels exactly this passage. We're guiding all generations to know and follow Christ. It says here, all generations through faith in Christ Jesus in the church give God glory. Wise men and women have we who love the Lord and who lead this church well. In fact, I've never said this publicly. I have privately many times, but I've never said publicly in the 5+ years since I retired as your pastor, I am so proud of our 3 lead pastors, of every minister, and each member on this staff. And I'm proud of you as a church. There's been the expansion of ministry and missions. You're going to hear about it this afternoon. All that has taken place, or a synopsis of what's taken place this last year. An expansion of missions and ministry. You're going to hear more about the mission expansion next month. There has been a reaching of all generations, much better than we were when I was here. We're reaching many more young adults, many more families. I get the privilege of teaching those preschoolers that have since come on Sunday mornings at both campuses. There's a continual emphasis upon the transforming power of the gospel. There's more and more baptisms taking place than ever before. And all of this is obviously because of the work of God in and through you, but it's dependent upon your increasing generosity and what you have been doing. See, this morning, I just cannot say how proud enough I am of our leadership and whatever role you play in this ministry. I thank God for you. Okay. This message this morning is really a follow-up of what Pastor Jason has been sharing with us from the Word of God these last 5 weeks. Because I will assure you, the more life, it is dependent upon you and me seeking first the kingdom of God. Jason has shown us how there's to be this holy pursuit we're to seek. It is to be our highest priority. Seek first. And then when we do, it says, then all these other things. This is the more part. Kingdom living where righteousness reigns, then all these other things will be added unto you. This is the more that we are promised. In fact, in that extended passage that Jason focused upon last Sunday, in those brief verses, the word more appears four times, including verse 26, when Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? I hope you understand this morning just how valuable you are to and how much you are loved by God. To illustrate that, you know, we've talked about Benny and Frankie, but let me tell you about Sam and Barry. Sam Darnold was drafted number 3 of the 2018 draft, 3rd overall by the New York Jets. They had high expectations when he came in. They thought Sam was going to take them to the promised land. In the 3 years that he was with them, the Jets lost right at twice as many games as they won. And they gave up on him. They were done. They traded him off to Carolina Panthers, where in the 2 years that he was with Carolina, he threw more interceptions than he did touchdowns. 2 year season, that's 34 games. He only started 11. He was hurt, and then he was benched. In the preseason of year 2, they benched him. They were done. And yet they got between a rock and a hard place at the end of the season. They didn't have any choice except to put him back in the starting lineup, and he played pretty well. They won 4 out of their last 6 games, but it had already been determined. They were done. And they didn't trade him. They just released him. Nobody wanted him. The only job he could find was as a backup quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. He wasn't a starter. He just rode the bench. The next year, his 4th team, the Minnesota Vikings, signed him, but only to a 1-year contract. He was going to be their bridge quarterback. I mean, he was just there until they could get to somebody that they wanted a whole lot better the next year. That year, as you probably know, proved to be a breakout year for Sam Darnold. He passed for over 4,300 yards. He made the Pro Bowl. He led the Vikings to a 14-3 record. It was all looking good until we got to the playoffs. And the only playoff game he had ever been in up to that point, he was horrible. 2 turnovers, and he was sacked 9 times. That is the NFL record for a quarterback being sacked in one playoff game. And after it's over, they were done with him. Again, you want him, you can have him, we're through. At that point of Sam Darnold's career, most teams and most people viewed him as a bust. He's a flop. He's a failure. He's a dud. He's a disappointment. Which may be how you view yourself today. But please understand, that's not how God views you. It's not how He values you. Sam Darnold, just as God has another chapter to your story, Sam Darnold was confident of what he was made of. Now, he knew he'd made mistakes. He knew he'd fallen short. But he was confident of what he was made of. He knew he was made for more. This last year, he became the first quarterback in NFL history to lead 2 different teams to 14-plus victories in back-to-back seasons. Again, he threw for over 4,300 yards. Again, he was named to the Pro Bowl. Now, he wasn't perfect because none of us are. In fact, during the regular season, he led quarterbacks in the NFL with the most turnovers. And yet he would invariably bring them back to win at the very end of most of these games. But you know, at crunch time, the last 4 games of the season, that last regular season game against San Francisco when they were playing for the number 1 seed, and then the three playoff games, including the Super Bowl, you know how many turnovers Sam Darnold had? 0. Not 1. The Seattle Seahawks became the first team in NFL history to go through the entire postseason and win a Super Bowl with not a single offensive turnover. Things had turned around for Sam Darnold. And God will turn things around for you. Every other city he was a part of, people just wanted to run him out of town. The city of Seattle loves Sam Darnold. Almost 1 million people showed up for the parade this week just to let him know. And he is a valuable part of that team. Let me tell you, God loves you. And as a follower of Jesus Christ, you're a valuable part of his team. Learn from Sam. And learn from Barry. I told you we were going to come back to the power part. We've seen that God's power is the basis for this life because his power is mightily at work in us. The same power appears in the two verses prior to this, where Paul said, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. He will be mightily at work within you only as you are rooted and established and firmly grounded in the truth that you are loved and valued by God and that there is nothing in all the dimensions that you can do to get beyond his love for you. In fact, God is for you and me what Dr. Barry Aldridge was to so many people in this congregation and in this community, sat right there in this service for almost 40 years. And tomorrow, as we prepare to pay tribute to Dr. Aldridge's life, this man, a faithful deacon in our church, a dedicated physician, was my doctor for years until he retired. As he was for many of you, I think he doctored half of Northeast Tarrant County. He was a leader in Rotary, a great organization. He was absolutely dedicated to everything that he did. And so the two things about Barry that apply to us today, number one, God does for you what Barry did for all of us. And that a few years ago, because of his leadership, his service, because of his impact on people, Barry was given this award. The Rotary, very prestigious, all-in award. Because he was dedicated and devoted to everything he took on. Let me tell you something. God is all-in on you. God is all in for you. Secondly, I've collected a lot of reflections from family and friends that we will use to honor Barry's life in the morning. But one from Stacy, his oldest. She said about her dad, every patient was his friend, and he was deeply committed to helping them have the best life possible. And what was true of Barry Aldridge is a whole lot more true of our God. Deeply committed. So committed was Jesus, he went to Calvary's cross to die on the cross to pay for your penalty for your sins. And it wasn't just to save you, it was to give you the abundant life, this more life. He's all in for you. And he's deeply committed to you having the very best life possible. Just as we thought we were doing for Frankie and Benny. I don't know, maybe they'll come back one day. I don't know. But if they left looking for more, I really don't think they could find it. I don't think a better life exists beyond the one that we were providing for them in the pond in the backyard. But much more importantly, and this I know for a fact, there is no life better than the one your great and gracious God affords you. My friend, He has not created you to resemble two wayward turtles, but He does call you to experience and to enjoy life that is beyond your imagination. It is based upon His power. It bestows upon Him glory, and it belongs to all generations in the church through faith in Jesus Christ, both now and forevermore. Because, as we're going to sing as soon as I pray, we were made for more. Amen? Let's pray. Almighty God, we pray for more. More living, more in our lives today. Not like the world would be looking for. We're not talking about more pats on our back. We're not looking for a plaque to hang on the wall. We're not even asking for more money in our pockets. We're not even asking for more of Jesus. Now, Father, if there's anyone who's not trusted Him, may today they receive Him by faith. Once we trust Jesus as Savior, we can't get any more of Him. We receive all of the Holy Spirit at one time at the point of salvation. It's not a matter of getting more of Jesus. It's a matter of Jesus getting more of me. So God, give us more. We want to be more attentive to Your Spirit, more obedient to Your Word. We want to be more grateful for Your goodness. We want to be more consistent in our devotion. We want to be more sensitive to people around us like Dr. Barry Aldridge was, and do everything we can dedicating ourselves to their service. God, we want to be more. May we have the more life based upon Your grace and for Your goodness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.